Welcome to the Curious Tech Podcast. This is episode 176 for July 4th, 2022, Cardboard Computing. My name is Hobie Henning. I'm joined this evening by Devin Rizzo and two sleepy cats. One is at my foot and the other one has been put in a sleep coma.
He's meowing at the door.
Oh no. I thought the whole point was the wet food was to prevent the meowing.
It was. And he was a good boy for about 5 minutes. And then I thought he went off to go take a nap, and I can hear him outside meowing.
No, poor Again. Buddy.
He doesn't know what he wants.
I mean, his world's just been opened up, because I heard that you purchased him a computer recently.
I did. I found it on Amazon. It was like $20. And it is an amazing little laptop. It's 14 inches. It has a USB plug-in mouse. And it's got a scratching post keyboard. It's got a power button that's actually a button. It's got cat stickers. All of the apps are catified. And what's either, I can't tell is fantastic or infuriating, is that my cat's $20 cardboard laptop has more ports than my $3,000 workstation class laptop.
Oh. Maybe at one point Dell will decide to copy Apple again and reintroduce ports to their professional laptop line.
Yeah, because as of right now, I could plug more things into my cat's laptop than I can my own without a USB hub.
Oh. You did post an adorable photo to Twitter this afternoon, so that was fun.
I did, and he has already ripped up and lost the plug-in mouse.
Oh no! That was like the best part.
Yeah, it was a little mouse on an elastic string, and it plugged into the laptop. The mouse is nowhere to be found, and he's only had it for 24 hours.
Oh, well, maybe you can like find your own mouse and like reattach it.
He has plenty of mousies. I'll have to attach one.
Very nice. So this is a light news week, being the week of the 4th. Not a whole lot, so we just picked some interesting and fun stories. So this will be a shorter episode than like the monumental ones that we've done for the last couple. So first up is there is a Chrome password manager update. Actually, the Chrome team has been really busy lately with password manager updates across iOS and Android. So now you can manually add credentials on all platforms, so like Mac, PC, iPhone, Android. You can now set Chrome as your default password handler for iOS. On Android, particularly Pixel phones, you can pin the Chrome Password Manager as like a little standalone app for your home screen if you want to do that. They have a new like touch to login feature. Is that, I guess that uses your fingerprint on the phone now?
It does.
Good. I'm surprised it took so long to implement that on Android, but good. I'm happy they finally implemented that on Android. So, but yeah, if you set Chrome as your default password manager, you can, on the iPhone in particular, you can actually, it's weird, it'll do the password filling for Safari, even if you're a Safari user. So, it's strange, but I mean, if you want to use, like, Safari on your iPhone, and then Chrome on your desktop, you can totally do that, so. Devin had to step away to relocate a cat, so.
The cat has been invited back into the podcasting space. How long this will last, I do not know.
So, do you use any of the Chrome password management features, or are you...
Not anymore.
I use LastPass.
Ever since you made me set up LastPass, I haven't used it since.
Yeah, I mean, once you get a good password manager, it's hard to really go back. They were just, like, so convenient. And I mean, literally today, my 1Password renewed. So, 1Password has been like on a streak recently, adding a bunch of really useful features. So, but I really like that Apple and Google and Microsoft too are like just all kind of working together to like raise the general like security for everybody with like introducing password like robust password managers into their browsers. So, because like honestly, like most people aren't going to get super dorky and do password manager. You totally should. But, like, let's be honest, most people...
Let's be honest, setting up a password manager is a total pain in the butt.
I never felt that. I don't know.
I found it a huge pain.
Maybe 1Password does better than LastPass, but just, like, once I set up 1Password and installed the extension... As I used 1Password, just over time, it was like, oh, hey, I see that you're logging in. Do you want to save this password to 1Password?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the setting up of 1Password was pretty easy, but I can't really vouch for LastPass. So, I've set up LastPass, but I kind of cheated and exported everything from 1Password into LastPass that way, so... Which, may I add, 1Password really, like, gets, like, super, super angsty if you ever try to do that. Mm. Not that they don't want you taking your data elsewhere, but, like, the process of doing it, I want to say dumps it into either a text file or a CSV file, and it's just like, hey, we're going to let you do this, but you really, really, really need to delete that ASAP after you get it into another password manager. Like, delete it. Don't leave it on your desktop for any longer than you need to. Get that thing off of your computer, because it's literally all of your passwords and clear text.
Yeah, it was a little sketchy.
Yeah, like, there's like three different warning windows of like, hey, we're going to totally let you do this, but just understand, like, get rid of this file immediately after importing it. We cannot stress this enough. You will destroy your cybersecurity if this file gets out. Don't share it. Don't print it out. So, apparently the Google To-Do team has been really busy printing stuff too.
See, I didn't realize that anybody used digital to-do lists and then physically printed them out until I went to work last week.
Yeah. Microsoft To-Do has a similar feature. You can totally print stuff. Actually, does Apple Reminders let you print? I've never actually tried. Oh, you can print from Apple Reminders. I've never tried to do that. Wow, I wonder if things let you do it. I'm going to have to open all my password reminder apps.
No, it was really funny at work. I work with mostly older people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the newer managers is in like their 40s. And he sent someone a virtual to-do list through Microsoft To-Do. Okay, not a problem. And it was like, they got an email saying, you've been invited to a to-do list, a shared to-do list with so-and-so. Okay, not a big deal. And, like, they thought it was spam, and I got called over. I was like, no, you just sign in with your company email, you do this. And so they got the to-do list. Like, okay, but how do I print it out? But then, a couple days later... Our party order.
Order, like I said, is definitely on my reminder list for today.
But how to party? What do you mean how to party?
I am the man of honor in a wedding, so I'm starting to organize for a bachelor party that I have to put on. So
right.
I was literally Googling how to plan a bachelor party at lunch today.
Okay. So anyways, this person, I print out the to-do list for them. And they did the work, and they checked it off by hand and threw the piece of paper away. A couple days later, I get a phone call from the manager that assigned the task asking me if I could help them log in to Microsoft To-Do and digitally check off the tasks. That way it would show complete in the job log. That way the next step in production could move forward.
That's awesome.
Because they thought, okay, I did the work, I did the thing, move on.
Yeah.
And so next week at work, I'm going to have to teach a bunch of boomers how to use digital checklists. Because I may be an engineer, but when you work with old people, you also moonlight as IT.
IT can't be everywhere all the time, all at once. So
because IT has bigger problems than 62-year-olds not knowing how to use Teams.
Yeah, I tried to make myself available, but there are some days I literally have to go, like, student worker, go and help this person learn how to do this thing. They just need, like, a little bit of help. Not a whole lot. You don't really have to spend, like, all afternoon with them, but, like, some people just need you to, like, a little bit of hand-holding, and it makes them more comfortable, so.
Oh, yeah, no, I've got one lady at work who freaks out every time she accidentally gets rid of the Google search widget on her phone. And printed it out on a little note card of how to put it back, but every single time she accidentally deletes it, she calls me. It's like, can you come over to my office urgently? It's like, okay, you forgot. You got rid of Google again, didn't you?
All right. Google's switch to Android now works with any Android 12 phone and not just Pixels.
Hey.
So you can choose to copy over messages, music, videos, photos, contacts, and apps as well. I don't think it'll transfer app data, but it will download the appropriate corresponding Android apps. Because, like, I don't think you can just do that with... so... because of cybersecurity reasons. But, there's now a move to Android app. It's called the Switch to Android app. So, and also Apple has a move to iOS app. That does it in the opposite direction. So, oh, it looks like it has better reviews. I guess, yeah, most of the reviews are like review bombing it. because people on the internet are mature.
People on the internet are mature.
So, yeah, if you're switching platforms anytime soon, you got tools. So, speaking of shutting things down, Meta has announced its digital wallet Novi is being shut down.
This was so popular, I had never heard of it.
It was also, beforehand, they were making a thing called Libra Wallet, and it was like a cryptocurrency project, and like every country in the entire world was like, no, Facebook, GTFO. And they just like every single country, every single state in the US was like, this is a really, really bad idea, letting Facebook become anybody's digital wallet. So
okay, apparently Meta has their own cryptocurrency called Diem.
Yes, and it's tanked. And like basically every country in the world is like, if you release this thing, we will regulate your entire business into oblivion. So it's never gonna come out.
Okay, apparently, yeah. Okay. Can corporate tech quit trying to invent their own cryptocurrency? Like, I have a theory that cryptocurrency wouldn't be that bad. Like, would be somewhat stable if people like Meta and Elon Musk and other people like that would quit trying to invent their own brand. Ow, Pixel, stop biting, of crypto. As we went from Bitcoin to Ethereum to Litecoin to Dogecoin to now there's like 25 million different kinds of coins.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go. We're not. We could do an entire episode about crypto, but
we are not financial experts.
No, no one in crypto is. Sorry, that's being mean. We're not gonna go into crypto. I just
trade at your own risk.
The core technology is useful for certain applications, but like it seems like it just attracts the worst type of internet grifters, of people just trying to get rich quickly and rip off other people with no like concern about other people. Like, you know, I mean, they're just in it to make their money, and you know, I mean, if something horrible happens to their friend, they don't seem to care. So it seems to attract the worst type of people in technology, the ones that you would like, if you were at a conference, you would like ease away from and like stop talking to them after a few minutes. So anyway, and also really rich people trying to get even richer, so because that's where, anyway, we're not going to go into that.
We're not going to the ethics of cryptocurrency.
Oh gosh, it's like that wonderful idea that someone has, and just like the worst type of people come in and ruin it. So, speaking of a wonderful idea that people have had, and the worst type of people are coming in and ruining it, Meta is launching a avatar store, which lets you buy designer clothing for your avatar.
So, okay. You have an avatar on Meta. You can now spend real-life hard-earned money for poorly rendered digital designer clothing that nobody's going to see because nobody uses Meta avatars.
Like, arguably, I'd rather buy clothing for my Xbox avatar. Why? Because people actually see my Xbox avatar. You know what I mean? Have I bought costumes for my Xbox character? Yes, I have.
There's
Star
also
Wars lightsabers?
There are millions of daily users on the Xbox platform.
Did I pay $3 for a digital lightsaber for my avatar? Yes, I totally did.
But there's a difference between $3 lightsabers and however much money they're going to charge for a digital Balenciaga outfit or a digital Prada purse.
I honestly don't know how much these things... Oh God.
It's going to be cheaper than the outfits themselves, but still, it's going to be more than like $3 or $5.
This just seems like just the worst. And I just... Yeah. You have feelings on it, so you can feel free to express your feelings on it.
I don't know. I just think it's funny, and I only included the story to say that you can spend real money on poorly rendered versions of digital clothing.
And that's all that I have to say about that.
If you care to waste your money like that.
It'd be one thing. I don't know. Especially with VR and Facebook's track record. Anytime you're in a virtual environment, you have to assume that anytime that you look at a digital object for any period of time, that metric is being tracked by that company, and Facebook, being given their Facebook track history, I just don't trust them.
I mean, I have a VR headset, and I am not jumping the gun to put my avatar in Gucci or Balenciaga or Prada.
Oh, cat. Pixel is excited about Gucci Meta stuff, or maybe he's just telling us to move on to the next topic because it bores him.
I think the entire concept of podcasting bores him.
I think he just sees it as my person is close to me, so I'm going to demand some snuggles.
And now he's gone. But now I can use my keyboard again.
Well, speaking of things that you should not buy, I'm going to dive briefly into the very top complicated topic of the baseline M2 MacBook Pro model, the one that still has a touch bar.
Bad.
So this laptop has been very controversial for a dumb reason. I will address the dumb reason briefly. With the baseline 256 gig M2 MacBook Pro with touch bar, and only the baseline, the SSD is technically slower for certain tasks than the higher end SSDs. First off, do not buy a laptop with 256 gigs of storage in 2022. Let me repeat that. Do not buy a laptop with 256 gigs of storage in 2022. Okay, number two, the task that this particular SSD, which is a slightly lower quality SSD, these people who are buying a Touch Bar M2 MacBook Pro are not editing 4K video. They are not doing high-end video renders. This is like a worker drone's laptop that a big corporation buys. They don't care about that. So I've addressed that, the SSD issue of being it is a non-issue. So, and that literally only affects the 256 gig model, which would only affect people buying these things for business. So, don't buy an 8 gigs of, I'm sorry, a MacBook Pro with 8 gigs of RAM and a 256 gig SSD. Just don't do it. It's a, also number two, this laptop, it's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. Some people like the touch bar. I don't hate the touch bar. I'm ambivalent towards it now. I've had it for 6 years now. Like, it's neat, it's cool, but like, I can live without it. Like, I literally don't miss it on my work laptop every single time I use my laptop. this thing doesn't have as many port. Okay, so just do not buy the touch bar M2 MacBook Pro. Like, the M2 MacBook Air is a better buy. It's a cheaper computer. It has more usable ports than this MacBook Pro because it has a MagSafe charger. So you can charge your laptop and you still got two USB ports on the MacBook Air. The webcam is better on the MacBook Air. The MacBook Air has no fan on it. For the type of work that you're doing on this level of laptop, you don't need a fan. Also, the other MacBook Pros have all the ports back. And they have a better keyboard that's not the butterfly keyboard. Yeah, do not buy the M2 baseline MacBook Pro. Like, if you got assigned to it at work, it'll be a fine work laptop, and the M2 is incredibly powerful, and it will do everything you need it to do. But as a consumer, you can either buy a cheaper MacBook Air that is a better value, or you can buy a real MacBook Pro in the 14-inch and the 16-inch, and that's a real pro laptop. But do not buy the baseline Touch Bar M2 MacBook Pro. You're going to hate yourself in about 2 years from now.
All right.
Did that make sense?
No, not at all. Beyond the don't buy a 256 gig laptop in 2022.
Is an awkward laptop in between a perfectly good MacBook Air, which is good for 80% of people, and the last 20% of people really just need to spend a little bit more money and get the 14-inch and don't get this 13. So, it's the most popular laptop because it's a MacBook Pro, and there are certain groups of people that they self-identify as a pro, which is fine. And, at work buys Pro MacBook Pros. They've standard IT has standardized on MacBook Pros, which is also fine. But like, yeah, I just don't. I can't recommend this laptop. at every chance I get, whenever a student asks me, "Should I buy this laptop?" I tell them to not buy that laptop.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, my laptop came with 128 gig, and I filled it up in under a week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. the files we're working on today are just like too big, especially when you have like literally most college students have an iPhone in their pocket now that can shoot 4K video. So, I mean, like, you can fill up that entire laptop with, like, 2 hours of 4K video. All right, speaking of more fun things, soon, Apple's CarPlay and iOS 16 is going to allow you to pay for gas from your CarPlay screen. Yeah, so developers for gas companies have to enable CarPlay feature in their iPhone apps, and of course, you know, I mean, you'll need a gas chain app and add a payment method, but yeah, so there may be a feature that at your favorite gas station you can just hit a button and pay for your gas that way. What I would really like is the ability to pay for parking that way. I don't know why that's not a feature in Android Auto and CarPlay.
That would be nice.
Cause like I always have to like hunt around for like, you know, I mean the little pay terminals, because ours are elusive.
Oh, the more and more time I spend in big cities with my boyfriend, it's like, and people are like, scan this sketchy QR code to pay, or download this app. I was like, I don't want to download my 20th parking app this weekend.
Luckily, every larger city in Alabama typically uses, is it Park Mobile?
Yes,
let's see. Yeah, it's called Park Mobile, which is a pretty good app. So. So. But yeah, you'll be able to pay for, gas from CarPlay hopefully soon, so. Especially with like credit card skimmers becoming like a real thing, I the less I can use like my physical card and stick it into objects, the better. I am paranoid, and I just like always pull on like the little gas card reader to make sure it's like an actual card reader and not a skimmer on top.
Well, that and just gas pumps in general are kind of disgusting. Like, they're always sticky.
I don't have that problem, but I also, like, do not like the, I don't like, petroleum smells in my hand, so.
Exactly, like, they smell like petroleum, they are either wet or sticky, or have some sort of splattered something on them. And plus, you never know who touched it before you.
And
what they had on
there. Yeah, I just don't like. Yeah. Any gas station that like adds Apple Pay support, like instantly you're gonna have me coming back to that gas station every chance that I get. Whenever I discover there's CarPlay, but contactless payments, I'm just like, yes.
Yeah.
So. And being able to do that from the driver's seat in more places would be even cooler, especially because, like, it just seems like some gas stations just, like, they all install the hardware, but they just, like, refuse to turn it on, and I don't understand why you would not do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's because gas stations want to steal your information. So, anyway. And sell it. But anyway, because that's how they make money. Anyway. T-Mobile has now rolled out 5G home internet to 5 million new addresses in the middle of the country.
Okay.
So, is T-Mobile having a moment? Am I crazy? Is T-Mobile, like, good now?
No, it is not.
Is it not good? Okay, I've heard...
It is not good.
I've heard... I have friends who, like, are switching to T-Mobile now, so...
I mean, maybe it's just my area, but T-Mobile in my area sucks hardcore.
Yeah, I have Verizon, so I've had Verizon since college. I'm sorry, since I graduated college, because I've gotten it from work, but that was my impression, is T-Mobile is, like, not great. Like, it's cheap.
No,
like,
took
it's
T-Mobile and Sprint, which are the two crappiest carriers, and you put them together for a somehow worse product.
Well, the cool thing about T-Mobile is with eSIMs, there's now like a test drive app that you can test drive T-Mobile, at least on the iPhone. And you should do that before you pay for a carrier. So, but one thing that I do like is T-Mobile is moving into like 5G based home internet. So, as someone who grew up in like rural Alabama, that's cool. Also, it seems like you get 50% off of YouTube TV for a year if you, oh, for a year. Never mind. So, I don't know. I could see, depending on your area, 5G being capable enough to run someone's home internet off of if you don't have too many devices.
Maybe.
So, but yeah, I thought it was interesting. It's of middling quality where I live, so. Anyway, sorry. I know you were T-Mobile, so I figured we should include a T-Mobile story.
I am T-Mobile by force, not by choice, and we are actively looking for a plan to get off.
Gotcha. Cool. So, Raspberry Pi?
So this one actually cool. So Raspberry Pi has announced the Pico W, which is the successor to the Pico, which was announced last year. It's a $6 microcontroller and it's controlled by Wi-Fi. Or it has Wi-Fi.
Nice. So what kind of stuff would you make with a of this?
It's useful for like IoT projects. Or just like really kind of any like generic, like, hey, I need a thing to control a motor or to control a this. I use them for things that need lights. But I like them because, like, so there's the $4 Pico, which is the exact same thing, but does not have any wireless capability. And then there's the Pico W for $6 that has Wi-Fi. You can
For
use the
so for
Wi-Fi.
$2 more, you can control it by Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Nice. So, yeah, don't y'all use a lot of Raspberry Pis for your robotics teams?
No, they're actually explicitly illegal.
Really?
Yes, they're explicitly illegal in everything that I do for robotics.
I thought y'all used them for like running the games and stuff like that.
We use them on the
Like the field, I mean.
we use them on the field to like run scoring systems and stuff, but they are super illegal on robots.
Fair enough. Why do y'all ban them on robots specifically?
Put this without going into like hardcore robotics lingo.
Explain it to me like you would explain it to someone someone on the executive board at Texas Instruments that you're sitting down at a robotics dinner for, and you don't have 15 minutes to go into it. You have approximately 30 seconds to describe why they aren't allowed.
Well, basically, we use specifically developed microprocessors to control very specific motors and very specific radio devices. And if you're connected, if you have the ability to connect to non-regulation devices, it makes it harder to regulate competition play. And it can also interfere with wireless field setups.
Good explanation. That's what I suspected, but I was wondering if that's the answer that you were going to give.
I mean, I can go into more detail, but how much do you know about
Fair.
very specific first related networking problems?
Oh, you don't need to go that deep into it, so. Just I figured
It makes everyone's life easier if you can only connect certain products.
Yeah, you just discovered Apple's entire business model. When the only thing you can run Mac OS on top of is like the 12 laptops and computers that they make, it makes their lives so much easier. Instead of the, thousands of SKUs of like Windows computers. So, anyway, moving on. Speaking of 1Password that I just renewed, 1Password will now help you remember which sign-in with service you used and which account
This is
goes with
so helpful.
it. Yes, it is. It's like, man, over the last year, 1Password has just added like so many nice little features. As they've really like pushed into, I guess that's like their that VC funding actually going to something useful. It seems like they're actually, we there was a lot of people worried whenever they got a bunch of like VC money that they were going to turn 1Password from a beloved Mac app into like this like generic 1Password clone just to try to get mass usage, but like. Seems like they're doing a pretty good job of like introducing like powerful new features and useful new features. So I really like this. I also really like the universal autofill. I really like the way that it handles two-factor codes now, that I'm slowly moving my two-factor codes over to 1Password. Yeah, I've been very satisfied with it this year. They've added a bunch of stuff just in the last like 24 months that's been really helpful.
So do you get the same little like micro heart attack whenever you go to sign in for something you have an account with, but LastPass or 1Password doesn't prompt you to, it's like, hey, here's your account information.
Yes.
And then it's like, oh wait, I know I have an account here. And then it's like, okay, did I use this email address or use this email address? Did I create an own account? Oh wait, there's a sign in Google option. I probably did that.
I'm slowly migrating away from the sign in with Google, but yes, I feel you.
As am I, but it's gotten to the point where it's like, okay, I will literally make an entry in LastPass so that it'll autofill and the username is you signed in with Google.
I'm actually moving a lot of my stuff over to sign in with Apple just because like they will like they associate it with like a disposable iCloud account. So if like someone starts spamming you, it's like incredibly easy to like just unsubscribe from a service and like black hole that all of that spam messages. So I really have also enjoyed iCloud Plus's ability just to like randomly generate like burner email, and like it's got me using my iCloud email for the first time in like 10 years of just like being able to randomly generate like a burner email account for like any online form that I fill out. Like there's like whenever I go to click the email part of the online form, it was like, hey, would you like to generate a private email account for this one particular form? And I'm like, well, I guess I would. So I hope Gmail does that at one point. That would be a
That would be
really.
very useful.
So I know, I imagine there are people who would pay for like a premium Gmail if you got more privacy features like that.
I would pay for that. I would so pay for that.
Like Gmail Plus. No ads, privacy, being able to randomly generate like fake email accounts. Not fake email accounts, but burner email accounts for privacy reasons. inbox like features again. I could see Devin paying, $10 a month for like a Gmail Plus that brought back the inbox features and adds in more privacy features into
Oh, I totally would. Oh, I'd pay $5 a month just for the disposable mail thing.
Yeah, so it's yeah, I'm actually becoming a big fan of like the iCloud Plus thing, especially with the private relay that like mask your DNS queries, so. All right, Sony. If you're part of Tech YouTube, I think every Tech YouTuber got one of these. We would like one of these too, if you would like to send one to us. But Sony has announced a whole line of, I'm sorry, like a new line of gaming gear. So, including monitors and headsets that are designed for like the PlayStation 5 and also like Windows PCs as well. So you can use them for Windows PCs, but they have like the Sony aesthetic to them. So first up is a new 27-inch 4K IPS gaming monitor. That's ad height adjustable. It has a 144 Hz refresh rate with a 1 millisecond response time. It does support variable refresh rate, so for both consoles and for NVIDIA GPUs. It supports DisplayPort, HDMI 2.1, and can also display out via USB Type-C. It has 96 local dimming zones, so like your blacks will be black, and you're not gonna have blooming on it. It is a little pricey at about $900. It's
Jeez,
definitely,
that's Apple monitor level pricing.
it checks all the boxes. If you want a gaming monitor for your PlayStation 5 or your gaming PC, it checks a lot of the boxes. So it looks like a really nice panel. So
Okay.
I wouldn't mind one if Sony wanted to send one my way for me to review or play with. I would put my Dell into storage for a little while. So. Also, it has RGB, so the rear LEDs can change colors.
That's cute.
So, there's also a cheaper $530 monitor. It gets rid of the local dimming, it drops it down to 1080p, and it drops the HDR down to 400 nits of peak brightness. But it does have a fast refresh rate for up to 240 hertz. So, but yeah, they got two
I don't
monitors
like
coming
that
out.
they're white. I don't like that they're white.
I'm sure there will be a deep brand skin, but it's very on brand for the Sony PlayStation 5 aesthetic. I don't know. Do they come in black?
No. At least the headset's only like white.
Okay. They also announced three different headsets. So they have a wired one and then two wireless ones. The wireless one, the higher end wireless one, has both spatial audio and then like a pass-through microphone mode, so you can toggle it on and toggle it off really quickly between noise canceling and letting things pass through. The middle one does not have that feature, but it does. It is wireless like the other ones. So, the spatial audio one is also pricey at, what was it, $230? Trying to find the price on this guy. There's so many specs. The H9, which is the highest end one, offers 32 hours of battery life per charge. It looks like they do come, it hooks up via a USB port and also Bluetooth as well. Let's see. There's an H3, H7 and H9 headsets. So, the H3 is wired, so but it's also the cheapest of the bunch, so at less than $200. But they're kind of comfy, they're flexible, so they tilt, and that way you can like put them on your neck. They got a built-in like stick microphone, so yeah, so I mean, if you want some like gaming headphones for like your TV or office, and you just want something like comfortable, and you want them like dedicated with like the PlayStation aesthetic and some like extra features that kind of integrate deeply with your PlayStation or gaming PC, I could see these being like a nice option. Sony is known for having pretty good headphones, so The spatial sound is interesting because, like, if you don't have a surround sound system, like, I mean, this should give you that surround sound audio that a lot of people like for like shooting games and other like AAA games that you can hear people coming from like behind you.
All right.
But yeah, okay. So basically, the H3 is wired at $100. The H7 is 230, and it's wireless, but it does not have noise canceling. And then the H9, which is a little bit more, that has the noise canceling. So I guess it depends if you live alone. If you live alone, I guess you could save a little bit of money and get the H7.
Even if I lived alone, I'd still want noise canceling.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be real. I mean, especially like they're like comfortable ear cuffs, and like you could just like turn on the noise canceling with the spatial audio and like get really immersed in the game. So maybe you wouldn't be able to hear your cat going meow. Mine would like totally ignore that and come up. Like what he does is like he'll actually like sit in front of the TV and just like block my gameplay.
See, my cat's not that smart. Isn't that smart? Like, he can't tell that I can't hear him. It'll just sit in the
Oh.
hall and meow at me. And it's like, I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at a TV and I have noise canceling headphones on. I can't hear you scream annoyingly for an hour. And you won't like come and like bug anyone else. He'll only just sit and meow.
Oh.
Awake or no one's in the house. He just sits in the house. He'll just sit in the hall thinking that I'm ignoring him when in actuality I just can't hear him. And he does this with breakfast too. Like if no one's awake, he just sits in the hall and meows. He doesn't try to wake anyone up.
All right, moving on. Microsoft Edge got a Pinterest-inspired update. Which this is not a good headline. I guess it goes full on Pinterest. I guess it's Pinterest. Basically, in Edge now, if you want to use the collection features, which is like a more powerful bookmarking utility that Edge has built into it that syncs between devices now, you can click an image and add it to a Edge collection now. And you can also share collections out. So if you're like trying to do some research, instead of having to like it takes the concept of like throwing bookmarks into a folder and makes them more visual, and then you can add little notes to all the stuff in your collection, and you can share them out with people too. So now you can just take like arbitrary images from the web and add them to a Edge collection, and it'll link back to that. So it's pretty cool. I wish Apple would copy it because I do like collections a bunch, but I don't use Edge as my primary browser, so it would be a cool feature to have in Safari.
I have zero desire for this feature at all.
See, I'm always doing research and throwing stuff into like Apple Notes, so.
Well, at least we should assume I throw it into Evernote, but I like it linear and text space. I don't like all the pictures.
Oh, I like the visualization. It helps me remember what I was looking up. I'm very like with my like very visual and colors with my organization, so.
All right.
All right. Starbucks.
Why is this only available in Korea?
I mean, it does charge via I think Type C, so I mean you could import it.
Anyone going on a road trip to South Korea?
I mean, you don't have to go to South Korea to buy these things. You could probably purchase them online.
So, Samsung and Google, Google. Samsung and Starbucks have a collaboration which is being sold in South Korea, and that is branded cases for the S22 lineup and the Galaxy Buds 2. And so they can come in the standard little case with the Starbucks logo on it. Okay, boring. But they've got a little white mug with a little handle and fake latte art that has your earbuds inside of it.
It's It's a little latte with a little flower art.
And it's great. And they also have cases for your phone. But like, I want this latte art case.
We're gonna have to figure out how you can
But
actually
like, how
purchase.
do we import these? Because like, they do all these fun collaborations, but it's only in South Korea.
I mean, there are websites that let you buy stuff from like Japan like this. But I don't know. I would have to do some more research about like what stores support these. So the cases are kind of cool looking too.
But like, I love this tiny little latte case. And yes, I know it takes a small and stealthy pocketbook case and sort of turns it into something loud and impractical, and it would not fit in my pockets, and I complain about that. But it's whimsical and fun, and I love coffee. But like, what if the world took a more whimsical, fun, even chaotic approach to chargers?
Let's see. I found the page where you can actually buy this thing on Starbucks. I mean, on the website. Here's the link to it.
Oh, really? How much does it cost?
Don't read South Korean. Gosh, let's see. Google Translate Korean. Yes, please. Korean to English.
English.
Go.
59,001.
One. Oh, that's points. Let's see. $59,002. $45.
Really? That's it?
Yeah, they're $45. Let's see. I can't read.
I would spend $45 for that.
You can log in with a Facebook account and buy stuff from them.
How insecure is this?
Surely.
Like, I really do want this, though.
I wonder if you can get one on eBay, maybe.
Probably.
I'm seeing one for sale, or two of them on sale for $80 on eBay.
Okay, I might buy them off eBay.
Yeah. Here we go. Here's a link on eBay for you. Wow, I love those eBay URLs. Holy cow. Shopping with Curious Tech. But yeah, they also did another collaboration with the Pokemon company with like a little Pokeball, and I think that's really cool. If I could get
Which
like a
was
po
again exclusive to South Korea.
gosh. Pokeball AirPods Pro case. Let's see. Amazon makes some covers that are AirPods. Oh, that's only $8. Maybe. So, anyway, for my younger sibling, I'm sorry, youngest sibling, it seems like AirPod customizations are like all the rage right now, so.
Good to know.
Yeah. All right. Samsung, speaking of Korean companies, has launched a gaming TV hub that launches with Xbox, Stadia, and GeForce Now streaming. So, if you have a Samsung TV, there should be a new game hub for its t for the 2022 t smart TV models, smart TV mo monitors, and TVs as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So, oh, and Luna is coming as well. So you just have to pair a Bluetooth controller to your TV, and you'll be able to stream games from any of those services. Which is just wild that. A video game console is becoming like an app on your TV.
All right.
Of course, I see Skyrim on the screenshot. So, because Devin has to buy Skyrim for every conceivable platform that she's ever owned.
Have I played Skyrim in years? No. Do I own it for every single console that I own? Yes.
I mean, you have
And
a Switch, don't you?
yes. And PS4.
You bought it for PlayStation 4?
I told you this. I couldn't help myself. It was on sale. Have I played it once? No. And I realized this the other day as I was deep diving into LEGO Star Wars. Skyrim was the first big open world game I ever played. And so it's not that I like Skyrim. Well, I do like Skyrim, but it's not that Skyrim was my end all be all games. I did not
Christmas.
realize at the time I'm into big open world games.
I get lost in big open world games, so like that's I guess why I've struggled with the newest Assassin's Creed game, is it's so big and so open world that like I just get lost in it, and then I don't feel like I've made any progress and I get frustrated.
Oh no, I love the huge games with huge storylines and like 25 million side quests.
I just that upsets
That's my
me
absolute favorite.
because I know that I will never complete all of Valhalla. There's too much.
See, now I'm on the eighth episode of LEGO Star Wars.
Bless you.
Sorry. And I'm almost done with the eighth episode of Star Wars. But yeah, I'm only 40% done with the game. And there's still like 800 Kyber Ricks to unlock and like 1,000 side quests and a bunch of characters and a bunch of ships to unlock. And so like I could be playing on this game for years.
I have a bad habit of like, oh, hey, I could play a video game for an hour, or I can watch a documentary by this random YouTuber for 30 minutes, and then another like 30-minute comic book explainer instead of playing a video game. That's my problem.
See, my problem is I when YouTube videos come out, like if it's more than like 20 minutes, I don't want to watch it.
Oh, I love YouTube deep dives. It's like, oh, hey, what was it? It's like, oh, hey, Thor, Love and Thunder's coming out. Here's a 20-minute explanation about the history of the God Butcher. And I'm like, oh, cool, interesting. And I'll watch the 20-minute YouTube video about Gore the God Butcher so that I'm prepared for Thor.
Okay.
So, anyway. Speaking of channel surfing, Twitch is now t testing channel surfing. How do you feel about this, Devin?
This feels like a step balance.
I kind of dig it a little bit, but like I like the scrolling and like the discovery bit of it, but like I'm happy it's like a mode and not like how
Okay,
you
but
have
like,
to use
how
it.
many people get on Twitch without a direct objective?
Me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't really know. I'm
Oh.
not super into Twitch, so like when I open it
Okay,
up.
so like, whenever I open Twitch, either I'm gonna stream, or I know a friend is streaming, or there's an event I'm specifically watching.
Yeah, no, it's like, hey, I want to just have some background audio. So.
Oh. Okay, I guess I used Twitch wrong.
No, you use it a lot more than me, but, people use it for all types of things. So. Anyway, yeah, now you can channel surf in Twitch.
Okay.
So, it's an experiment. It may not stick, but I don't know. Maybe it'll help some more people get into Twitch like me. Like, I'm a filthy casual.
Fair enough.
The tweet is no more pogoing. It's not a Twitch thing that I don't understand.
It's considered pogoing when you're flipping back and forth between like strings and stuff.
Okay, like a pogo stick. Gotcha. I'm sorry, I'm a geriatric millennial, so it's hard for me to understand things like that. Oh, man. All right, so Snapchat is now adding paid subscriptions because paid subscription and chat apps are all the rage recently. How do you feel about this, Devin?
Snapchat's in a weird position.
What do you mean?
It's like, okay, Snapchat was all rage when I was in high school.
Yeah.
But, like, people who were in college when I was in high school were like, oh, no, that's a kid thing. But, like, people who were younger than me didn't use it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the weird... Snapchat has a weird user base, and so it's, like, that's, like, baby millennials who still use it because they've used it since they got their first phones when they were 14. And then old people who got it because their 13-year-olds were getting it, and they needed to make sure this wasn't, like, a, like, weird black hole of the internet.
Yeah.
But, like, that's, like, their entire user base.
None of my friends... Like, I have... Some
well, yeah, you're in that weird age group of, like, you're a little bit older than me, and it was seen as an app for kids.
Yes, so, and, like, I don't hate it. I just, none of my friends are on it. I prefer
I don't use it anymore because, like, I mean, I didn't have a lot of friends in high school, so, like, I didn't see the point of it.
I prefer it to something like Facebook, for sure, but, like, just none of my friends are on it, so I'm just like, oh, okay, well.
That, I never understood the point of Snapchat streaks.
They're just fun.
Okay, it reminds me of, like, Facebook poking.
I love Facebook poking. I'm so sad that Facebook poking went away. I had it all.
If Mark Zuckerberg has anything to like VR, it needs to be like digital or like VR poking.
No, I think that'd probably fall.
Actually, no, that never mind.
Devin thought about that idea for approximately 10 seconds. I was like, oh no, people are gonna poke me with. No.
Okay, but like, poking was fun because it was like, poke. But, like, it was an objective. I'm poking somebody. Streaks, like, people would literally take a photo of, like, the floor or of the ceiling. They wouldn't even, like, take a photo. It was just, like, anything. And it was just, like, streak. I was like, what's the point? Well, like, this feels like the Snapchat drone. It's a great idea, but I don't know how many people are going to pick it up.
I have a friend, they don't tell you, I can't remember what each emoji means in terms of streaks, but I got a pretty good streak going with about 3 friends of mine.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have Snapchat on my phone anymore.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, no, I haven't used it.
I'm cooler than Devin. I'm more hip with the youths that Devin is.
I was in high school, people used to talk on Snapchat, like, as regular text conversations. Mm-hmm. And so I asked some of my students, and they do that, but it's on TikTok. And they have full-blown conversations on TikTok. It's like, oh, you need to ask, what'd you get for number 6 on the math homework? You DM them on TikTok. And it's like, oh. Okay, we did that on Snapchat.
What does Snapchat Plus actually give you for $4 a month?
See, you can change the style of the app icon, see who rewatched the story. You can pin a friend to the top of your chat as a BFF.
Cosmetic changes.
So, nothing really. You know what would be really cool? if like on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, you could like highlight who your favorite follows are. You know, which
Yes,
is really cool.
it's called making up a Twitter list.
No, but like that's not public.
Yeah, you can make Twitter list public. And people get notified when you add them to a public Twitter list.
Fair, but really cool. Like, you know, you go to my profile, you see my pinned tweets, and like after that, it's like my favorite accounts is this, and this. Not that, like, I don't know.
Like a official Follow Friday feature.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, do you remember Follow Friday?
I do. What happened to
Oh,
Follow Fridays?
it just people kind of stopped doing it.
I mean, you can only recommend following people so many times before you run out of people to recommend following.
Maybe. I still kind of miss Follow Friday.
I do too.
So, my understanding of Twitter is most people are lurkers. They just like follow celebrities.
Oh.
And they don't actually tweet themselves. So. Anyway, yeah. So,
Anyways.
yeah, if you're a Snapchat Pro, you too can be special. So, we now got Twitter Blue, Snapchat Plus, Telegram Plus, Facebook. Thankfully, has nothing. I don't know if I would pay for Facebook.
I would
So,
not.
I would not either.
I mean, at some point,
I still have Messenger.
Instagram, either Instagram or VR will quit being owned by Facebook, hopefully. And when that day comes, I will uninstall Facebook from everything.
Yeah. There are some days that, if it wouldn't, I don't know if it's even possible to like dislodge my Facebook account from my Instagram account anymore.
It's not.
I think they're permanently bonded now. So I had a OG Instagram account that was not bonded to Facebook, and I very sleepily bonded it one day, and then I realized you can't unbond it, and I am very sad because
Oh,
I
my
can't live.
personal one is not connected to Facebook, but my 3D printing one is, and all of my team ones have to be.
Sadness.
But the biggest deal for me, though, honestly, is Spotify.
Oh,
Because I
really?
created Spotify in 2014.
No, you can break that,
You can
surely.
break that.
I think you can break Spotify.
Because I was a freshman in college and it was like, log in with Facebook or log in with like an email. And I was like, oh, Facebook's not bad.
Yeah, no, you can. I think if you log in with like or like you can like change. Yeah, I think you can break it now, 'cause
Ooh.
I started off Spotify like everybody else with Facebook, but I log into my email account now.
If I can do that, that'd be one less thing tying to Facebook. But I'm not going to get rid of 8 years of listening history and curated playlists. No way.
Top track this month. Kate Bush, running up that hill. We were all singing it
Anyways,
yesterday.
Tesla can now scan for potholes and it can adjust its suspension to avoid damage.
I thought that was a pretty cool update.
This is a cool little feature, and hopefully, this will diminish underbody damage due to poorly maintained roads.
Knock on wood, we got pretty good roads in Alabama, but every time I visit a state that's not Alabama, I definitely appreciate our Alabama roads. Very cool. So it doesn't work in when you're in autopilot mode. It's only when you're driving, but you can now turn on the feature by selecting comfort under adaptive suspension damping settings. So, It's not available on every Tesla. You do have to have a hardware 3.0 computer to do it, so it has to be a pretty recent one. But yeah, I thought that was a really clever feature. I hope more cars adopt. So yeah, my family also lives in like rural Alabama, so sometimes like some of the roads we drive down are like they don't get the attention that they need. And it takes a hot minute, so.
They also in this they rolled out the green light chime, which helps combat driver distraction.
Oh, so it'll beep whenever there's a green light.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. I like that feature. I
I
need
like that a
that.
lot. It's so annoying. The light turns green. It's been green. You still haven't moved because some idiot is on their phone.
Yes, more cars need this feature.
All cars need this feature.
All right. So we've come to the end of all of our stuff. All of our sorry, my brain has turned down. All of the stories that we have. Is there anything else you kind of want to mention or discuss?
I don't think so.
Cool. Should my next Lego model be the Globe or Optimus Prime?
Globe.
But it's so expensive.
It's expensive, but like,
It,
honestly,
but.
it's a very like, it's one of those like Lego sets where you could display on your coffee table or like on your counter in your home that nobody would question.
Whether
Oh,
or
hey,
not I.
that is a mature adult piece of decor. But
Yeah.
also, but not be in it, and it's still fun to do without it being, oh, hey, that's a Lego Star Wars helmet in the middle of your living room.
That's a Lego Transformer in the middle of your. This is a man child.
Exactly. Like it bridged that gap between like full out
Bigoted.
toy, but still like could be displayed tastefully in your home without having a dedicated Lego Star Wars room. Slash could
We're
be
just
displayed tastefully and not look like your
when
wife.
the guests come over, we're just gonna shut the Lego room. Just
Exactly. Or
close the door for the Lego room while we have
like
that
for
discussion.
those adult men who want to display their Legos, but their wives are like, no, if this does not go with the home decor, this could be tastefully displayed.
Maybe. I'm gonna think
Not that
about
I
it.
care about tasteful displays. I have Lego Star Wars helmets in my office at work, and people constantly question them. I don't care, but for people who do care about that, and or who have people who have design in their forefront of their minds, you know.
Cool. All right. So, do you have a pick of the week?
I do, and it is the Microsoft number pad.
Oh, you actually bought one of those finally.
I've had one.
I thought you. No, maybe it's someone else that's been like asking me about number pads for like a while now, and then I was like, why have you still not bought this number pad
That
that I
was
rec?
me. That was me. I realized I never I didn't I've been trying to clean all the crap off of my desk, and I found the box on my desk because it hasn't gone in my pile of boxes. Even though realistically I don't need the box because the transport it lives in my backpack. But yeah, the Microsoft number pad, it connect it's just a number pad. It's not a mechanical keyboard, it's not anything fancy, it has no LEDs. It's just a number pad.
So how does it connect?
It is Bluetooth and it can connect up to three different devices.
Okay. Where did you how much is it and where did you purchase
It
it?
is $30 and you can get it off Amazon or Microsoft's website. I think I got the white one because it was on sale at Amazon.
Gasp. You bought a white object.
I bought a white object because the black one was $30, the white one was $17.
Fair enough.
Do I regret it because it has stains all over it? Yes. Will I eventually buy a black one? Also, yes. But it works great. The box has up to a 2-year battery life. It has an integrated calculator key. It does nothing fancy. It's just a number pad because manufacturers keep infuriatingly not putting number pads on laptops.
Yeah, I need to purchase this for some coworkers, actually. I'm
It
gonna.
lives in my backpack, so it's durable.
Yeah, I'm actually
It's very
gonna.
durable. It's got good battery life. It's both my work and my personal laptop are connected to it.
I'm gonna purchase one of these
It's great.
for my some coworkers that do use number pads, and they have Surface laptops that don't have number pads. So
It's
I think.
extremely enraging when I'm trying to like work from home or work from like not my office where I have a full mechanical keyboard setup. And I do a lot of data entry as part of my job. And it's like, I need number pads.
Very nice. So my pick is actually free. It is a Apple Watch app that is technically an iPhone app, but actually, I'm sorry, it's just a complication. So it is a complication called Roughly, the time in words. And it is a Apple Watch complication that you can add to your watch face that will tell you like, hey, it's 5 minutes until 11. It's 10 past 11. It's 10 past 2. So if you want to have like an analog watch face, but like especially some of like the more minimal ones or the ones with like the smaller analog faces that sometimes is kind of hard to see at a glance. You can do this and still have like the best of both worlds. So I like it because like you kind of do that anyway with like a analog watch face, but being able to just like glance down and see that like it's 10 minutes. I mean it's 7. I'm sorry, it's 10 minutes to 7 or something like that. It's neat. So
Oh, nice.
yeah, it's fun. It's free. It works with like most of the watch faces. Particularly for like the I just really like it for like the Breathe watch face that doesn't have any hands on it at all and it's like super minimal. So I think it's nice, especially on like the newer watches that have like the edge-to-edge screens that is like a black bezel. So yeah, it's called Roughly. It's available on the App Store and yeah, you can get it for free. I'll include the link in the show notes.
Very nice.
All right, Devin, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at DevinJCR.
Very
Something smells like
nice.
chicken.
Something smells like chicken. Does it smell like Teen Spirit?
It does not smell like Teen Spirit.
It'd be really weird if it smelled like Teen Spirit.
Is Teen Spirit still a thing?
Nirvana, the Nirvana song, yeah.
No, the deodorant.
Was it a deodorant?
It was a very popular deodorant when I was in junior high. Like, that's all anyone wore was Teen Spirit deodorant.
I have literally never heard of Teen Spirit. I'm gonna open up a private Safari window.
Yeah, like in. Oh, yeah, it's still a thing.
Oh, Colgate. Wow. Wow, that's very
It's
bubbly.
very bubbly. They had all sorts of flavors, scents, but like it's advertised as cute and girly and like it was very brightly colored and
That's probably why I don't remember it. So, cool. All right, you can find me on the internet at Hobie Henning on Medium, Instagram, and Twitter.
You know what? I bet you Paisley used this.
It looks vaguely familiar,
I
so I would not.
guarantee you, because your sister's the same age as me, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I guarantee you she used this all through junior high.
I would not be surprised.
Where can we find you, Ori?
Oh, I literally just said that. Take us home, Devin.
Okay. Well, it's been quite an episode. We'll be back next week with hopefully some more news. And until next time, stay safe, don't get COVID, and stay curious.